Grand rising, everybody. Daily coming to you live. Spirit and coffee. Got my coffee here. So amazing. Been using coconut milk as opposed to almond milk. And a whole nother eating regimen and all that other great stuff. So whole new me starting to come through the surface. Just recently went through some, you know, health issues, and that's kind of what happens in our life, right? We get older, health starts to go a little wonky, and so taking preventative measures for your health, super critical and important. And I had to take some time off because I wasn't feeling well, and try to figure it out. But as I come back, right, recognizing that our bodies, our vessels, are the most important piece to the puzzle. If we don't take care of our bodies, if we don't take care of our physical body, you know, we can make our life even more miserable in a lot of ways. And because our body, right, if we, who wants to live with pain? Nobody. Who wants chronic pain? Nobody. Unless you guys are interested in chronic pain, which doesn't even make sense, right? Like, who would want to live in the pain of, you know, of day-to-day life and just living in your body in pain? So preventative measures, that's what I do. I take preventative measures. Hey, Carol. So, you know, taking preventative measures for your health, for how you feel, super important, especially as we get older, of course. And then trying to tweak and shed the old skin. Now, that's kind of what I was talking about yesterday, was the death and rebirth. How do we shed that old skin and let go of the things that we need to? Otherwise, if we don't, we become vampires. And I like the way that this book talks about vampires, right? It says, since the vital energies of authentic feeling and emotion are repressed, the vampire must live vicariously off the perceived projected emotions of others, gaining nourishment only from the lifeblood of other people's lives. In order to accomplish this preservation of the illusion of life without change, sunlight, the classic image of consciousness, and reflection, the act of honest self-observation, must be avoided at all costs. In other words, I can't look at myself in the mirror, and I can't shed light on consciousness in order to preserve the old patterns and ways of being. I need to suck the lifeblood out of other individuals in order to maintain that persona or that person or whatever it is. So sucking the lifeblood out of other individuals, basically, in order to change. And it's a projection, right? It's the projected emotions of others gaining nourishment only from the lifeblood of other people's lives. Okay. Now, to preserve the illusion without change, right? And they call it sunlight, is the classic image of consciousness. When we bring things from the unconscious mind into the conscious state of mind, we don't understand what it means. We don't, our conscious mind can't process the information. We don't even know how to look at it properly. In fact, we're confused by it. And oftentimes we repress it in the subconscious mind and we leave it there. And we act as though that subconscious understanding doesn't exist. We repress it and then and then it continues, right? Good morning, Yolanda. How are you? Been a while since I've seen you. So very good to see you. So if that happens, right, and we're trapped in self, you know, deception, we're deceiving ourselves from our authentic truth. And this happens all the time. We play these tricks on ourselves, right? We perhaps we think it's too much. Life is too much. I can't do it. We fall back into our old patterns. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to fall into our old patterns. It's easy to do what feels comfortable. It's scary to let go old parts of ourselves and shed that skin, that old skin, right? A snake that doesn't shed its skin will perish. So we get to allow ourselves to let go of these things and be authentic. Otherwise, we can't look at our own reflection. if we're not living in integrity, we're not able to look at our own reflection. When you live in integrity, you're able to look at your own reflection, right? So it's almost like we repulse our own self in a way, which is interesting if you've noticed. When we're not following our divine purpose, our divine path, when we're not listening to that internal voice, when we avoid it, when we act like it doesn't exist, when we turn our face from it, what ends up happening is we end up hurting ourselves. We end up putting ourselves and our bodies through so much anguish and pain and suffering that maybe doesn't even need to happen, right? And then with that, we can't even look at ourselves in the mirror. And I remember, I think I recalled, and I did talk about this where, you know, there was a time where I was a drinker, right? I was an alcoholic and I fell and I didn't even know that I fell. And when I got up to look in the mirror, I was like, who are you? I didn't even know who I was at the time. Like I knew it, but I didn't. And the first words out of my mouth were like, God, what am I doing? I'm sorry. Like I'm bad. I'm like hurting myself. Why? I thought, why? You know, and it's funny because most people will say, well, God, right? No, it wasn't. You chose to drink. The crazy lady, the one, the only crazy lady. Are you the only, you're the one and only crazy? I like that. It's funny. I'm pretty crazy myself too. But, you know, looking in the mirror and saying like, what the hell just happened? Who am I at this point? Not blaming God, not blaming the universe, not blaming others for my circumstances and conditions, right? Looking at myself and saying, what the hell am I doing to myself? Good morning, Kumar. What am I doing? Why am I hurting myself? Why am I putting myself through this? What is wrong with me? Why would I want to do this to myself? Why would I want to hurt and harm myself? For what purpose? Doesn't even make sense. And I looked in the mirror at myself and I was like, I don't know who that is. I don't know what you're doing, girlfriend, right? And rather than saying, oh God, it's why did you do this to me? God didn't do that to me. I chose to take the damn alcohol and drink it. I chose to take the sip. I was highly aware of that. I had every opportunity to say no. I understood that I had divine will. I understood I had the will to turn it away and to rejected and do something and put something else in lieu of that, right? And say, well, instead of this, I'm going to do this. I knew that. We all do. So those cop-outs that we give ourselves about, oh, life and oh, this, okay, I'm just going to say bullshit. Why? Because I've been there. I called bullshit on myself. You've got to call bullshit on yourself. You've got to. No one's going to do it for you. And if they do, you're going to get upset because why? Because who are they to judge, right? But when you look at yourself and you call it bullshit on yourself, right? And you have a little laugh, then maybe there's something there. You could be like, because I would look at myself and laugh. Like, you've just done some dumb stuff. That is just dumb. And you know it. You know it's dumb because, right, what ends up happening is you hurt yourself. You're hurting yourself. And it's for what purpose? Why do you want to hurt yourself? That doesn't even, some people might like to inflict pain upon themselves. And okay, if that's you, cool. But I'd say that the majority of individuals don't want to inflict self-sabotage or self-pain. I think most individuals want to live a beautiful life. Good morning. Who just got on here? I can't see who it is. Let's see. Don't work. No one makes you get drunk or high. Amen. It's just yourself, right? You just do it yourself. And you, no one's putting that alcohol to you. I mean, I can't say that it hasn't happened. That, you know, maybe people haven't, you know, maybe people have got tied down and they've thrown alcohol in their mouth at people that didn't want it. Like, I'm sure people have been cruel and done stuff like that. That's called coercion. That's a little bit different. But what I'm talking about is when we make our own choices, right, to get high, get drunk, self-sabotage, they're coming from our own personal choice. We are the responsible party. But we sometimes people will want to blame somebody else or their outside circumstances and conditions. And the reality is it's not. it's you making the choice. There's other choices that can be made. So what do? You take another practice and you put it in place of the choice that's harming you and put in something that's not going to harm you. So I just work out, right? Blame something that happened to them 30 years ago. I know, right? Isn't it crazy? Now that's crazy. And I'm sure you're not that kind of crazy, crazy lady. But yeah, 30 years ago, something happened and you're still, you know, people are still stuck. They're stuck in the past. You know, the stuck in the past, right? That doesn't serve them, where it's like, okay, we get it. Heal from it. What did you learn? Because if all you learned is to mask your suffering through drugs and alcohol and play the victim, all you're doing is hurting yourself. You're not shedding your old skin. And then you're becoming a vampire because now you're living off the lifeblood of other people to find your joy and happiness because you can't find it internally. How could you? So yeah, when I get off the wagon, it's all me. Yes, exactly. So I've been, let's see, sober for 10 years. Bottom line, I wanted to get high. Amen, sister friend. See, that's the way it works. And you know it, right? And so, and people do, they know it, they're aware. Some just want to cop out. And you know, and that's for me why I was like, didn't think that talking about stuff like this, I had a voice, because for me, I'm hardcore, probably drill sergeant when it comes to it. And I'm like that with myself. That's why, because I understand. I know that playing victim on anything, not just the use of alcohol and drugs, but anything in your life, playing the victim doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, it'll get you attention for a while, but then you're sucking the life out of individuals. And when individuals can't handle that anymore and their energy is depleted, you got to find somebody else. That's usually what victimhood does. You've got to suck the life out of each individual in order to maintain that storyline. And that's what this book is talking about. And we do it over and over and over and over. Masking a feeling was my biggie. Yeah, we do that. We mask the feeling. And instead, right, of going through the feeling, those emotions that are not easy to face, right? Which is why, do you think there's 500 people on this podcast? No. You think people want to face it? No. They'd rather repress it, turn it away, and be distracted by things that feel good, quote unquote, for the short term. And then we're looking at the long term issues, right? But if we focused on it now, in the long run, we're going to have a happier, healthier life. But individuals, right? Right. Well, they're going to say, well, okay. Oh yeah. I don't want to hear that. I'd rather go and turn on the distraction, right? Or I'd rather look at somebody else's drama than deal with my own drama. Guess what? We all got drama. I mean, these stories you can't just make up, right? It's almost like a telenovela. We're like, whoa, what just happened today? And it's our life. Our life is a big telenovela. We have our own drama to deal with in our own families. We have our own historical trauma to deal with. We don't need to turn on the TV. Like, there is, trust me, we're things to work out in our own life all the time. But as a distraction to look at their shit instead of ours, it's like, oh yeah, that shit is crazier than my shit. And guess what? If I view other people's shit, I don't have to deal with my own shit. So I'm gonna go look at their shit. It doesn't magically go away. No, there is no magic wand, right? We don't have a Glinda wand. And in fact, Glinda's wand couldn't even make the shit go away. Let's be honest, right? If we looked at the Wizard of Oz, she couldn't magically get rid of the Wicked Witch. That's not how it happened, right? If her wand could just magically get rid of all the wickedness, why was there wickedness still? It couldn't. What it did is it masked. It put this spell that everything was okay and didn't want to look at, you know, the repressed parts of that dark side or shadow side, right? And when you look at it, And actually, looking at the Wizard of Oz is a really actually great. Good morning, F8, if we look at it, right? Good morning, Tony. Good morning. I don't know who else is on here. There's somebody else I see on here. Good morning. So let's look at the Wizard of Oz. Cool movie, one of my favorite movies of all time, right? Now, the Wizard of Oz has a ton of meaning, if people didn't know this, and it goes into commerce, it goes into all kinds of different things. But if we looked at it from the light and the dark, okay, from the shadow and the light, we can see that Glinda was the role of the good witch, right? And she wanted everything to be perfect and proper, and let's just put a bubble around it, and let's just shield the Munchkins and all this beautiful land from the darkness, right? We're just going to shield and pretend it doesn't exist, but we know it exists. And every once in a while, it might pay us a visit, or like the Wicked Witch pays us a visit every once in a while, but we get rid of her with this illusion that everything is beautiful. Okay, that's not how really what happened, right? Eventually, they had to deal with it. They had to deal with it. And who dealt with it? Not Glinda. Glinda is the illusion of everything is perfect. She has Dorothy deal with it. And now Dorothy has to go into the shadow. And she does. She takes the journey. She takes the journey through her shadow self. Okay. She goes into the dark forest, right? But she finds her friends along the way. Now, if we looked at the friends that she gathered along the way, each one of them symbolizes parts of the tarot, believe it or not. The tarot, right? People don't know. So everything is fair and good, not even close. No, it's not, right? But the universe will work to balance things out if we deal with the shadow. But the shadow is part of the equation to balance the equation. We have to balance it. It's even in the matrix. The matrix gives us the equation, right? That's a whole other storyline, but it's the same thing. Gets played out the same way. Now, if we looked at the Wizard of Oz and we looked at tarot, we have the Scarecrow, we have the Tin Man, we have the Cowardly Lion, and then we have Dorothy. Each one of those symbolizes a part of the tarot. Dorothy being earth, which is pentacles in the tarot, the lion being fire, right, which is wands in the tarot. We have this Scarecrow, which symbolizes the wind, which is in the tarot. Is swords, and then we have emotion, right? Which is the Tin Man. He was the emotional one, which symbolizes cups in the tarot. Okay, so we have all of that, and Dorothy herself, as we know, really those characters are sort of the subconscious mind and her cool homies that are going to help her along the way. Guess what? That's you. You're Dorothy, and you're going down your path. And you have all of these things that are going to help you. These are your tools that you're going to use along your yellow brick road or your path. Okay. Understanding that. Now she has to go through shadow. The Wizard of Oz didn't help her either. He's like, bring me back the broomstick. Like, honey, this is your journey. This is your story, not mine. And you screw up on the way, and she does screw up, right? The trees get mad and throw apples at her, and she has to deal with all the rudeness of people or the rudeness of life, right? Where the trees are like, hey, would you like me to do that to you? Talking about justice. I mean, if you just looked and picked apart the whole story, you'd understand that it really is the story, a hero's journey, right? The story of us through an alchemic process. Really, it is. And it's alchemy. Alchemy was part of the Wizard of Oz. Go back, read about the characters. In fact, go and read up on any individual who's done any movie that seems esoteric or seems like it's spiritual or has some deeper meaning, because I guarantee all of those individuals are alchemists. All of them. They know something about spiritual alchemy because it's all based on alchemy. So there you go. I get a little passionate about it, but you know how that goes. Alchemy is part of us. Amen, sister friend. Yes, it is. And so we're looking at the Wizard of Oz. She has to deal with the shadow, right? And Glinda's sort of trying to repress that, right? Or she's pretending that it's all good and everything's beautiful, and she has these Munchkins totally. And don't get me wrong, they have fear, but she's like, it's gonna be okay. Now, in the end, yes, it will be okay, but not everything's peaches and cream all the time, right? And then you have the cowardly lion who has to find his divine will to step up, to have the courage, right? Courage is a big part of wands, right? When we look at the fire energy, it represents fire, our divine will and courage to be able to step into these uncomfortable conversations, to be able to deal with it, right? You also have the emotional part, right? Where we have the Tin Man who's sad and just wants to be loved and wants to love. Right? And his heart doesn't tick. He doesn't think he has a heart, but he's looking and he's on a journey. Then you have mind, right? Which represents wind, which represents the swords. Okay. The swords in tarot represents your mental state of being as well. So if you can't tell me, it's funny because some people are afraid of tarot. And I'm like, all the great movies that you love and casinos are based on tarot. How about that? So if you think it's evil, you might want to just not engage in any of that then. It's not evil. It's evil the way that they've depicted it and the way that they have misdirected us in a lot of ways. But Wizard of Oz, great movie, right? Wizard of Oz has actually done a really good job of talking about that process that we go through and dealing with the shadow side. And even look at this. So it's kind of crazy. Watch, here's another thing. And it just popped into my head. We try to avoid the darkness by numbing ourselves out. Okay. Understand that in the Wizard of Oz, they go through poppy seeds. Look at what is happening in America with heroin. Comes from poppy, right? In the movie, it's like, let me fall asleep and act like I don't have to do all this, right? And we have our courage falls asleep, right? The lion falls asleep, right? The Tin Man doesn't, our emotions stay awake. I think it's the Tin Man that stays awake. But if you look at that, that's what we do. We use these drugs to numb out and repress those states of being so that we don't have to deal with them. And then we wake up and we remember that we got to continue the journey. But it's a personal choice. Okay? We don't need to numb ourselves out and repress it. Yeah, Jesus was not the last miracle worker God has given us. Yeah. And this includes synthetic. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I love that you say that Jesus was not the last miracle. You're absolutely right. We need miracle workers in every era and every age. People say, well, he's the final sacrifice. Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. We're still living in suffering. And people may get upset about that, but the reality is it's true. Tell me you don't suffer. Tell me that you've had a perfect life. No, you don't. I'm sorry. No one does. The perfect life is, and it's perfectly perfect if you understand the process. Yes, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you what, if somebody has, like for instance, me, if you're a woman and you have cramps, tell me that that's not painful, especially if you have endometriosis like I do. No, that shit's painful. Okay. That's not fun. I don't want to go through that. If I was living my perfect life, I would never feel an inch of pain, but that's not true. I have pain. People have chronic pain. People have mental anguish. People are dealing with death. People are dealing with suffering. Part of life. Okay. I would love to hear the person that says, no, I've never had suffering ever at all. Okay. And then you smack them in the face and tell them, did that hurt? That's suffering. I'm just kidding. All the docs prescribing and turning population into zombies. Yeah. Death is painful. Yeah. Yeah. And I think death could be not painful if we accept and allow these parts of ourselves to die off and transition. But it could be, and it could be, most of life is unjust and sucks. Okay. So, yes, yes, I agree, and yes and no. Now, here's the deal. If you understand the alchemic process and how to transition and transmute and transform energy into goodness, right, if you know how to do that, your suffering minimizes. Or you understand how to work with the suffering rather than avoid it, which makes it worse and magnifies it and grows it. And when we start to grow it, it becomes almost so much, it becomes so painful that we don't even know what to do. At this point, we don't even know what to do with it. We can't even turn it off. We can't. And before you know it, it's taking charge of our life rather than us managing it. So preventative measures are critical. But we've got to understand what's happening in our mental state of being. What's happening here, right, from the psychological perspective? What is going on in the mind? How are we talking to ourselves? Good morning, Andy. When we ask our self-talk, right, like in the morning when you're looking at yourself, what are you saying? Because that's where demons will show up, right, internally. Those are the things that we repress. And when we're able to get them out and get them out of us and give them a space to transform, we can start to heal ourselves internally, right? Learn to love ourselves. Not an easy process. Now, I'd imagine that most individuals are circling quite a bit, right, of internal issues, right, that they are not able to talk about or don't talk about or don't have someone. Find someone. I don't care. Talk to yourself about it. Draw a mask up and put the mask there and talk to the mask. I've done that. I have a mask, actually. Literally, I do. And you talk to it and you work it out. But if you don't transmute that energy, if you don't shift that energy, it stays stuck inside of you and it grows like a cancer. And before you know it, right, again, you're not shedding your old skin and becoming anew. You're not allowing yourself to mature into a new state of being, a new essence. Letting go of the things that don't serve you. You're holding on to repressed energy. That's not forward movement. It's not going to allow you to move forward. You're going to get stuck. You're going to be stuck. But all the crap and flip it. Yeah, find the lesson, love the new, learn self-love. Amen. And self-love isn't such an easy thing, right? Think about the conversations you have in your head about yourself. What do you tell yourself? What, you know, you can go from the meanest things you tell yourself to the kindest things you tell yourself and ask yourself, how many of those, you'll write the awful things you say to yourself, the nice things you say to yourself, and then just put little tick marks. How many of these do I do and how many of these do I do? Oh, I probably do more self-hatred. We are so hard on ourselves, even me, right? And I'm hard on myself in a different kind of way. It's like a drill sergeant self, right? Get up. Let's go. We got time for that. Hustle, hustle, hustle. It's never relax and just chill. Like, that's not the conversations in my head. And sometimes it's to a detriment, right? Good morning, Josh. It's to a detriment for myself, right? Where it's like has to be so rigid and it's on point and everything has to be on point and to the point where I drive my own self crazy and get my own self sick. So looking at those self-talk, self-conversations. Why? So that we can shed the ones that don't work for us and learn to transmute the ones that are not going anywhere, because some of those inherent things inside us will not go away. My drill sergeant will not go away. It's not going away. And I accept that, right? I accept that internal drill sergeant in my head isn't going to go away, right? It's going to be there. But how do I utilize it for the benefit of myself? Sometimes I have to say, take a back seat, shut up so I can relax and actually relax, literally relax. I need to relax. That's the feedback I get from everybody. You just need to relax more. I'm like, really? What's that? I don't even know what that means. Or not feel the guilt of relaxing, right? Which could be the opposite for others, right? Maybe people are too relaxed and they need some motivation. and they need to move their asses. And whatever that is in their head, because too much extreme of any one of those conditions leads to pain and suffering again, right? Middle path, finding the balance. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I laugh at myself all the time. I'm crazy. I'll tell you that. It's just crazy, crazy. Go, 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 go. And then, boom, my body takes me out. And when your body takes you out, I always feel guilty when I relax. Yes, that right there is the issue, the guilt. That right there is hindering you from actually relaxing, right? Because here's the thing with relaxation for me. If I relax, I feel guilty. If I feel guilty, I get anxiety. If I get anxiety, I feel stressed out. So then it just does the opposite. It doesn't even make sense. It's doing the total opposite of what it's supposed to do, right? Like, that's not working. I'm just stressing myself out more. It doesn't even make sense. Like, can't I just relax? So, you know, I get this from my mother, of course. The unrelaxed woman. She's always go, 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 go. And then she's tight, like she has little rocks in her shoulders and stuff. Like yesterday, she's like, massage me. I'm like, oh, I can't. My hands hurt. You're like a rock. It's like, dang, lady, loosen up. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm talking to myself. Guess I'm just like you. So learn to relax. If you're one of these people who are on the go, go, go without feeling guilty, and address the guilt, because that's the underlying thing. We are not related, are we? I know, all of us. What does relaxation mean? Like, we'll relax when we die. That's what some people say. I'll rest when I die. And then our body takes us out, and then we don't have a choice because our body wins. So if we learned how to nurture it and used it properly, so there are things that you can do. And it's opposite, again, for people who are maybe don't move enough, right? And they have this thing of procrastination and maybe laziness, right? So we have one for both, right? We have this sort of sin, which is just being off the mark, not sin like you're going to burn in hell, just like you've missed the mark. You're a little bit off, right? And there's one for both, right? There, that's why those sins came in. They were like, yo, if you do too much of this stuff, it's really not going to be, it's going to be a detriment to you. It might even cause other people harm, right? So why don't you learn how to balance that, you know? So let's just talk in like 20th century lingo, right? I think back then they're like, if you shall sin, you shall burn in hell. Now we're saying, look, let's be real. Let's talk about sin. Sin is this, okay, from a 20th perspective. Yo, if you do too much of laying around and sloth, it's going to be a detriment to you and perhaps others around you. You're not going to be comfortable, and perhaps your body's going to suffer because you're not moving. So you probably want to move. You probably want to find that middle ground where you can move and actually relax and do both. And the opposite spectrum, yo, look, if you want to over-anxiety, right, and work yourself out too much to the point where your body is your vessel and you just let it go and you're not maintaining or working on it, well, then you're going to cause yourself a personal hell and suffering. And perhaps others. So find your middle path. That's really, really what sin is telling us, okay? Like, yeah, too much of something is no good. And then there's these other ones that are, of course, not good ever, right? There's not even a little bit of good, right? Like killing people. That's, you know, that's part of it, right? Or harming other people intentionally. Those are other things that I think are a result of us not taking care of the little things that matter. And allowing ourselves to find the middle path with the things that are smaller, like relaxation. Because if we don't, then we become a firecracker. And we lash out in traffic. Of course, not wanting to harm people, but we still cuss a lot. I'm talking about myself, obviously. I had a whole conversation about traffic the other day, and I got really upset with a friend. And I said, oh my God, I'm sorry. Don't talk about traffic with me. Like, people don't talk about politics. I don't talk about traffic because it really upsets me. You see how stupid that is? It's hilarious. Okay. I shouldn't say stupid. It's ridiculous. And I know it. Okay. I was like, don't be making these generalizations about people on their phones. And I just went off. And then I felt kind of bad. I was like, that wasn't very nice. And I'm like, why did I let that trigger me? And it's because traffic triggers me. don't talk traffic. That's what I'm going to tell people. You can talk politics all day. I'll just sit there and listen and be like, I don't know. I'm not going to get involved. Right? And don't talk religion. And hey, I can accept any religion and anybody's perspective. And I'm willing to listen to everything and anything people have to say. I'm still going to live my life and I'm not going to get upset. But traffic? Oh, no. I have my opinions about that. So when Natalie, you don't talk traffic. And that's it. Okay. Alrighty. Funny Monday. Okay. So time is up. Go out, love yourself, look at your self-talk. If you want to do it as an exercise for yourself, or what I call homework, but I would say just a self-exercise, right, is to put on one side the self-talk, the negative self-talk, and then put positive self-talk. And then put a little mark every time you say something not nice to yourself. And put a little mark every time you say something nice to yourself. And then tally it up and look at it. Is it not balanced out? Maybe it's not balanced. And maybe you have more self-hate talk. And maybe that's why you have all these underlying issues. Right? Like, I just caught myself on this. I said that was stupid. And I said, no, don't call yourself stupid, Natalie, right? See, these are the conversations that I have internally in my head. Don't call yourself stupid. You're not stupid. You're smart. And I'm like, yeah, I'm smart, but maybe that wasn't very nice. No, that wasn't very nice. Okay, yeah, that wasn't very nice. See, so you offset it and you sort of dialogue with your own self. People could hear my own internal dialogue. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, you're already hearing it. There you go, the crazy lady. And asking yourself, and then looking and asking yourself, well, how do I counter this, right? This is called states and traits in the brain. And I'll leave with this. This is the actual chemical part of the brain. We have states and we have traits. States are fleeting, meaning they come and they go. So like states of happiness come and go. Traits are the more rigid, static. They don't change as much. And that's like sort of our grounded personality, what we lean towards. Do we lean towards more joy and optimism or pessimism, right? And so that trait is almost like a thick line that's connected in. It's hardwired in. And then sometimes these fleeting states come in, right? States of mind where it's like happiness will hit us and throw our traits off. We're like, what? We can change that thick line of traits, right? This is that chemicals we're talking about in the brain in order to shift. That we can look at that and we can say, well, I'm going to build this muscle. You don't just walk into a gym and automatically have muscle. That's not how it works. We have to build up. You're not just an athlete overnight. You build up. So if we're building up, we're building up an optimistic, opportunist state of mind, then we've got to start to work on it. And every time we say something negative about ourselves, we have to counter it with like 10 positive things. Your brain might not even be ready to handle that much positivism. That sounded weird. Okay, so you may not even be able to handle it. Some people can't even handle compliments. How can you even compliment yourself? Try it. Okay, so today, if you don't do the exercise where you do the two things, at least today, if you say something negative about yourself, say something positive to follow it up. And you can say, that wasn't nice. I say that to myself all the time. I'm like, oh, that was just so da-da-da-da-da. And then I'm like, oh, Natalie, be nice to yourself. Like literally say it out loud. So Yolanda, Tony, I don't know who else is on here. I can't see. Whoever's still on here, Andy, if you're still on here, say something mean to yourself, follow it up with something nice and say, oh, that was nice. Be nice to yourself, Tony. Be nice to yourself, Yolanda. Be nice to yourself. I don't know who else is on here. Do it, Shiloh. Shiloh, 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 Shiloh. Okay, do that today. If you don't write down the two and mark it up, just do that. Just do that to yourself today. I'm just giving you permission to do that to yourself and say it in a baby voice if you have to. I say everything in a baby voice because I'm still like a baby in my mind. And I'm like, oh, Natalie, that's not nice. You're amazing. And then I just laugh. I laugh it off, right? It's like, no, don't be so cruel. Okay. You don't want people to be cruel to you, then don't be cruel to yourself. If you don't want people to treat you cruel, then don't be cruel to yourself. How about that? You're like, she was so mean, but in your head, you called yourself stupid 10 times. Come on. Let's be real here. You're not being very kind to yourself. Okay? That's the plan. That is what you will do today. And let me know how it goes tomorrow. All right. So there you have it. Oh, I thought today was Monday. Today's Tuesday, huh? Oof. I'm all off. So have a great Tuesday. And I will see you guys mañana. I love you so, 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 so much. Bye-bye.